Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim Monson.
And I'm Molly Vogt.
And we hope you are having a terrific Tuesday. We are the AmeriChicks. You can find out a lot of information about us at our website, AmeriChicks.com. And we are AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 303-632-4160. We have in studio with us a new friend, a new guest chick, and that's April Fallon with Adoption Now. And she has adopted four little ones, and she has a real heart for adoption. And so we're going to be talking about some individual stories, as well as we're going to talk about some of the kind of the macro things going on in international or intercountry adoptions. So we're going to jump into that in the second and third segment. And so let's talk a little bit about what's on our radar. Molly, do you want to start? What are you thinking about?
I'd love to start. Thanks for asking. I did something super cool today. So I volunteered with Junior Achievement at their finance park. And this is a program they do for about 90 to 95, I think, middle schools in Colorado, all of Adams 12. And then they're talking to Dougco, actually, I think, next week. So hopefully they'll say yes to this. It's a really cool program. So the middle schoolers come in. We had all eighth grade today.
And bless you. There's 7th and 8th grade kids, there's something unique about them.
Oh, I know.
But we were all that.
Today, they were awesome. They were really awesome. And we had like 120
of them.
I'm not
saying they're not awesome. They're just interesting.
I know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that's what my mom said. She was an 8th grade teacher. But so it was really cool. So everybody gets an iPad and, you know, you log in and everybody gets their own individual situation. So you may be a single person with a great job, many years of training either in your career or in your, in school, and you make great money and you have no debt, you already have some retirement, or, maybe you are a single parent with kids and you don't have as much money, and it's kind of the whole back and forth thing. So you just random, whatever you get, right? And then you go through and you are budgeting. So you're putting together a budget. Okay, here's how much I'm earning per month, either my money or mine plus my spouse. And then, you take out the taxes, and literally they have you swipe the taxes over. So you have to see what's going for federal, what's going for state, what's going for FICA, the whole deal. And I think that's really cool. And then everybody has a little bit of debt, at least at a minimum, on a credit card. And then they're budgeting out. What is the most important thing for you, for your priorities? And then what are your wants? So you're going and saying, okay, health care, I want to put money away for health care. I need a home. I need food. I need clothing, that kind of thing. And then where do you go from there? And it was just interesting because the kids, you're asking them at the end, like, what did they learn? And they're like, wow, kids cost a lot of money. Like, I wish I didn't have kids. Why do I have to have kids? Imagine what I could get if I didn't have to. And then, they split up childcare costs by the age of your kid and stuff like that. And then healthcare, it's like they start to see. And then they have different opportunities for cars to buy, and they're shopping, maybe one with more miles and, older car versus newer car, back and forth. And it was just very interesting. Credit score was a big one. I got to be the bank, so I was giving loans. And I said, since it's my money that I'm risking and lending to you, I want to make sure that that you're going to pay me back. And I'm going to be able to tell that by looking at your credit score and, how much you have in savings and payment history and things like this. And so they were like, oh, yeah, okay, great. I have 720 credit score or above. And the others are, oh, no, mine's like, 500. And it was just interesting. Okay, then how can I get that up? And so we're going through all these lessons. It's great conversations to have. I mean, these kids are in the eighth grade, and they are learning that things cost money. They cost a lot more than they think they do. Their parents are spending a lot more money on them than they do. And taxes actually matter.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if our politicians and bureaucrats had to take a class like this.
I think it'd be a very good thing.
Yes.
So with that said, anyway, great cheers to Junior Achievement for what they're doing. The GOP tax plan is in the works right now. Obviously, the health care is not going to be voted on. That's a dead deal because the Democrats don't want to change anything, and many of the Republicans don't either. So there you go. It's not a party line deal. It's just our politicians don't really care about our health care. Then, so they said, well, we're just going to move on to the tax plan. Now, they were talking about moving the tax plan from 7 individual tax rates down to 3. Now they're considering a fourth, and that would be a high, allowing a high tax on the most wealthy. So we'll see what happens. It sounds like Trump is sitting down again across the aisle. So we've got Democrats and Republicans that are working on this. So we'll see. But Representative Richard Neal of Massachusetts, the top Democrat on the Ways and Means Committee, said that President Trump told the lawmakers Tuesday the rich will not benefit from this new plan. And
now, was he a Republican or a Democrat? What did you say?
A Democrat.
Democrat, okay.
Yeah, he says Trump is saying that the rich aren't going to benefit. So that's why they're thinking about adding one more tax level instead of 3, now 4. So they still will have somebody up there in between that 35% to 39% tax rate. And then Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said they're willing to negotiate on the top rate.
Wow.
So that's where we are on that. I just don't know if they're going to get anywhere. But I hope that they understand how taxes cripple the middle and the lower income level people, because we don't get around the loopholes. We don't have the lobbyists in our pocket, the industries behind us, the money behind us to go in and help us figure out how to get around those crazy taxes. So they actually hurt us, mm-hmm. not the wealthy. So mm-hmm. anyway, mm-hmm. that's what's on my radar.
Okay.
Money, honey.
Okay.
It's Denver's Money Talk Radio.
Yeah. You know, I continue to see more and more overreach of the administrative or the bureaucratic state. Where you have to have licenses, you know, have to pay for a license. And whatever happened to people being smart enough to be able to come together and negotiate an agreement? And what comes to mind here, do you guys not see all kinds of cars that drive around on the city streets that have a little Uber decal or a Lyft decal mm-hmm. in the back window? These are people that are able to make extra money by using their asset, their car, and certainly going through the Uber or the Lyft app, and it matches people up that need a ride with somebody that can give them a ride. And it's really changed the industry as far as mobility in different ways. I was astonished. I've been wanting to talk about this for 3 days, Molly, but we always have other things that are coming up. But it's unbelievable that in London, that London deemed Uber unfit to run a taxi service this last Friday and stripped it of its license to operate from the end of next week in a major blow to the U.S. firm and 3.5 million users in one of the world's wealthiest cities. So these regulators are saying these 3.5 million people cannot have a choice on how they travel. And then in essence, what happens, the regulators will push these users to a different mode of transportation that the you know, bureaucrats and lobbyists and politicians may think that they want people to travel on. And these people just lost a choice in mobility, and probably they're going to be having to pay more for whatever it is that they're going to be doing. So I think it's scary that London would deem a business as unfit and take their license away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, any government that's taking away choice clearly does not care about the little guy saving an extra buck or two. And isn't that supposedly who our government says they want to help? They want to help the vulnerable. They want to help the low income. They want to help with that kind of thing. Then why would they take away choice? I think they don't understand. Choice brings competition, which lowers prices and increases value for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Easy economics.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. The other thing we probably need to talk a little bit about the NFL. Is it Jerry Jones last night and the Dallas Cowboys? Mm-hmm. Apparently, they all took a knee before the anthem and then stood for the national anthem. That seemed like a solution to me.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I liked it. Yeah, they showed solidarity with the team, and they showed solidarity that they were standing against, or at least saying that they recognize that there is racial injustice. And that's great, and that's fine, and that's wonderful. They did that together as a team without basically spitting on our flag and our military men and women who have risked their lives and limbs mm-hmm. for this country.
Although I'll tell you, I have talked to a bunch of people that are very, very frustrated with what's going on. I've talked to people that have, somebody today said that their husband canceled their NFL channel. Somebody said today, I'm not ready yet to give up my Bronco tickets, but I'm thinking about it. April, have you heard anybody?
Yeah, I mean, this is really upsetting for a lot of different people. And one of the questions that I keep asking social media and the people around is, what's the end outcome? What is our outcome? Like, what's our goal? You know, when we look back at Martin Luther King, who made such a great stance, the end goal was clear. They wanted a right to vote. They wanted, you know, to use everybody's drinking fountains.
Right.
They want, you know, we knew
to ride
the
on
end.
The bus wherever, yeah, wherever,
exactly,
you chose, you know.
What is our end goal here?
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there is one. I actually think that the end goal, I was writing down some words, they talk about unity, but yet it's disunity that they're really promoting. They're defining people by a descriptor. Again, this is across the spectrum of all the stuff that's going on. They say they want peace, but yet they're creating chaos. And then they say, you know, we want respect. We want to respect each other, but yet we disrespect. And it's, I don't know how we got to this point in America where, you know, they say one thing, but they mean another, and people actually, you know, are kind of buying into it, that this is a unifying thing to be doing. And I just don't see it. So
I think people are just so confused. They don't know what to believe. They don't know where to stand. They don't
right.
know what's right. They're trying to make sure that they're not hurting anybody's feelings and that they're standing with their friends. But the truth is, without a true goal, like you said, April, then what do you shoot for, and how do you know when you hit it? You're just going to keep on going until there's nobody else at an NFL game, or disrespect all of our military men and women? Or do we take out the anthem? Do we take out the flag? Do we take out the flyovers? It's the AmeriChicks. We'll be right back.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
It's time. October is coming, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We hope you are having a terrific Tuesday. You can get a lot of information at our website, AmeriChicks.com. In fact, all of our shows are archived there. If you want to call in and ask a question, we're talking about adoption, or comment, you can certainly comment. The number is 303-632-4160. And we have in studio with us April Fallon with Adoption Now. She's the founder of Adoption Now. And she has a real heart for adoption. You have adopted 4 children, correct?
Yes.
And we had you on about a month ago, and the conversation went so quickly. It's like, let's get you scheduled and get you back here. So it's good to have you, April.
Thank you for having me.
And tell us a little bit about Adoption Now.
So Adoption Now was started just out of our own experience. We said yes, my husband and I said yes to 7 placements in a very short amount of time and finalized on 4 children. And we were just telling people our stories, and we realized that people wanted to hear about adoption. And so we decided, let's start a show where we just start with our experience. And from there, it grew into other people's experiences. And then we started doing interviews about the whole triad. So we would talk to adoptees and birth mothers, and we started to learn a lot about adoption. And now it's just an educational piece for people to connect to stories, but also learn that, first of all, you're not alone in your journey. And secondly, this is really challenging and beautiful all at the same time. And how can we embrace all of it?
And adoption is actually, it's a big industry in America. And I shouldn't use the word industry, but there's a lot of money in adoption in America, right?
Yes. I was just talking about, speaking of NHL, the NFL, we're just talking, my husband and I were saying it's an $11 billion industry, huge industry. So if it goes away, I mean,
it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. Adoption is a $12 billion industry. So that tells you how big adoption is. Mm-hmm. And we're not going anywhere. I mean, our communities are growing. With this huge of an industry, we have seen a complete decline in adoptions overseas. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and why that's happening. But things are changing. You know, some people say, I don't want to talk about adoption. I have bad experiences. But the truth is, it's not going anywhere. We need to talk about it. We need to be educated. A lot of what's going on in this country is lack of education. And so we're here to speak on that. And really getting people's experiences and hearing the heart of the story is the best way to really connect and to understand.
Oh, that's great. I forgot to give our bylines, that we are the sluice for truth. We educate, inspire, and engage, and dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And that educational component is so important. And to learn about adoption, I think is really, I mean, adoption's been around forever. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to have the conversations about it. Now, Molly had mentioned that we kind of wanted to talk in the state, kind of a macro level. There's different rules on adoption with each of the 50 states, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So 10 years ago, adoption was different than it is now. I mean, of course, 20 years ago, we can just keep going back. It has changed so much. But with infertility so high, adoption has grown tremendously. And all the states have not caught up to that change, Colorado being one of them. We are, you know, I hate saying this, but we are a pro-blood state now.
Now, what does that mean exactly, that, April Fallon?
That means that the state itself is going to try to keep the family together. We also agree with that. We want children to stay with their families. We want mothers to be able to parent. We love reunification.
We're but it can be to a fault. I've seen it.
It can be to a fault. And when you have placed a child with a family for a year and birth parents are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, the family a lot of times wants to adopt. They want to make this child their forever child. And
okay, so
the
now
state,
just re-describe. So a child is living like with a foster family, right?
Correct.
Okay, and the child's been there for a year.
Correct.
And the family says, we'd like to make this child part of
right.
our family.
Okay. Birth mom, birth dad, they don't seem to be showing up to, you know, appointments. They're not doing what they should be doing. We would like to, you know, make this child our own. At that point, the state would come in and then try to find a family member. So if grandma mm-hmm. would take the child, if aunt and uncle, eventually, a lot of times they don't get to keep that child. Now, what it does to a child is they've attached now to a new family, and now they've ripped them away mm-hmm. to keep blood together.
Right.
And so a lot
of... And grandma
of,
not, may not be there, aunt or uncle may not really be that interested in raising the child.
And if that happens a lot of times, then you can go ahead and adopt.
Okay.
But if the child is, this family is arguing and there's some blood in there, they're going to get the child.
Got it.
So other states are going to look at the child's well-being. They're not a blood state necessarily. They're not on the adoptive parents. They're not on the biological parents. They're just going to look at the child.
What how a novel idea.
Yeah. How long has the child been with the family? Should they stay? How is the child doing in this family? What's best for the child? And so a lot of people in Colorado go to different states because they know they feel the government would support them.
Okay. April, real quick, how long did you say that the family has to come back after the adoption to reclaim that child?
So in Colorado, 6 months.
After an adoption?
So, okay, so there's two different ways that you can adopt in Colorado.
Okay.
We can do a domestic infant adoption.
Okay.
Okay. At that time, birth mother is going to sign over her rights to you.
Okay.
Right? That's going to go to court in about 2 weeks, but she has 6 months to change her mind. She has 6 months to call a grandma. She has 6 months to call an aunt. So you are now bonding with this child thinking, I want to adopt, because you went into it 100%, no foster care. You went into it with adoption.
Right.
She has the ability to do that, which makes it a little dangerous for an adoptive parent.
It does.
Now, with foster care, they say you have up to a year and then you can, the child can become adoptable. Sometimes if mom does show up, we can kick that out. We've done interviews and seen families struggling for 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, still fighting with the, you know, the system, saying we think this is extremely unhealthy. This child has to have a stable home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what kind of scares people into pursuing adoption in Colorado.
Okay. So April, then, do we have kind of a backlog of people looking for adoptive parents?
That's a great question. I don't think necessarily not looking for adoptive parents. Maybe the other way around, adoptive parents looking for a child.
Yeah.
And so they go to other states.
Right. Okay.
Right. So does that make sense?
Yep.
Tell us, are there many private adoptions that occur where an agency is not in the middle? Or
You were saying before that there are a few different ways to do it.
So in Colorado, you have to have an agency. We are an agency state.
Okay.
Other states don't allow that. You can go through a lawyer. Everybody has to get a home study done. So whether your state is providing that, whether social workers, but in Colorado, we have to have an agency involved.
Okay. Okay. Let's jump in here. You know what? Why don't we go ahead and start in on the intercountry thing, and then I think we'll end up with the heartwarming stories that you were going to tell us. So I sat on the board for Lutheran Family Services for 6 years, ended up as the vice chair of program services. And when I got on, I really was thinking, you know, Christian, nonprofit, charity, you know, helping with adoption and foster care and refugees that might be coming in, you know, that were religiously persecuted. And as I started to really look at this, I realized there was a tremendous amount of government money that was coming into this particular agency, and that government had its hands all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up, we were presented, in fact, it was my first white paper, you guys, and it's pretty long. I did a white paper in 2011. I will mention, as I look at this, one of the points that I made, I said, and I was talking about the debt. At that particular point in time in 2011, our national debt was $15 trillion. It's now over 20, and that's in just 6 years. But
wow.
Anyway, what had precipitated this, April Fallon, was the agency was being requested by the Hague Convention to get accreditation in respect to intercountry adoptions. And I was really concerned about that because, in essence, I felt that here we had a U.S. Nonprofit that was actually giving sovereignty up to an entity outside the United States. So that was the first thing that concerned me. Is that anything that you've thought about at all, or does that make any sense?
Well, I think that, first of all, let's talk about Hague.
Okay.
Hague was brought in to stop human trafficking. They wanted to make sure that we weren't going over as Americans and saying, I'd like that baby. How much? And it doesn't matter if they have parents. I want to bring them home because I can provide more. They wanted to stop that.
Did it happen much?
Absolutely.
Did it? Okay.
It was happening. We have stories on adoption now. We had a story of a girl adopted from Colombia. And, you know, just regular story. I mean, if you talk to her adoptive mom, she just said, you know, I went with an agency in Colorado. We went over. We met this baby. We brought this baby home. Baby grows up. She's now an adult telling the story, and she says to her mom, I think I want to find my biological mom. She said, well, honey, you're from Colombia. I mean, there's no way. So she goes on Facebook and she says, my birth mother's name is, and types it in. Well, she finds this huge group of people, and they said, we think you're our sister. Send in a DNA test. Does a DNA test, comes back. She is a part of 7 different kids that were adopted every single year in all blood. So then they started doing all this research and found out that this woman was having a baby every single year. She was also a twin, so maybe the twin was also. bringing a child, selling it to the agency there in Colombia, and then that agency was bringing them over to the United States. That's a huge thing to find out. You're part of trafficking. So Hague is there now. It came in, U.S. adopted it in 2008. We are now wanting to protect against that. But the back end means less people are going overseas.
Well, that was my concern, because what you're saying certainly, you know, pulls at the heartstrings and is something that we don't like to have happen. However, when I look at the numbers, when I had done this piece back in 2011, I could see that the numbers of adoptions were going down from other countries. So in 2004, I think was our top year. And in 2004, 22,989 kids were adopted from other countries to American couples. Also in this piece, I have quoted the UN, where in essence they are saying that they really prefer that kids not be adopted into the United States. So
right.
What you're describing is tragic, but I also think there's this bigger thing over here that doesn't want to have kids adopted into the Western civilization. And so anyway, when I ask the question, what you just described says, this is what we're trying to prevent.
Right.
And
well,
that's noble.
Yes.
And that's noble. Mm-hmm. That is noble. However, as I thought about it, now you only have one agency in a country that, you know, that, that people can go through for adoption. And in a lot of those countries are corrupt. So I'm not sure that it really changed that. I think that it might have actually just consolidated that decision-making into one entity that could be very corrupt. And then I said, okay, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see. I think the truth will be in the numbers. So I gave you the number in 2004. This is from the State Department. 22,000, almost 23,000 kids.
Adopted internationally.
Adopted from outside the country, yeah, by American couples. Okay, would you like to guess how many kids were adopted in 2016 by American couples?
Much less.
Yeah. Any ideas?
5,000.
5,370.
Boom, I won.
You win.
So almost a quarter.
Not
only
that's
a quarter.
Good, but
what that means, though, to me, is that there are kids out there in other countries that are probably being trafficked in other ways. You know, and they're victims there, because these policies are not letting them be adopted by American couples. Now, that's something that at least I see in the numbers. We're going to go to break. I can see April looking at me going, I'm thinking about that. So I'm going to want to hear what you have to say about that, April Fallon. We'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whiddon, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here's Helen Creeble.
The government keeps sticking its spatula where it doesn't belong. Because a few people became sick from eating tainted hamburger years ago, the government urged more thorough cooking, and many states adopted regulations requiring restaurants to cook hamburgers at least medium well. The concern is understandable, but if we look at the issue through the lens of liberty, we might realize that giving the government power over the way we cook our food intrudes on our most basic freedoms. I happen to like my hamburgers medium rare, and so do millions of other Americans. As an informed citizen, it is my duty, not the government's, to know what risks I may be taking and to make the choices of a responsible adult. That is why Americans believe in limited government, because we believe ordinary people can govern themselves.
The Lens of Liberty is brought to you by the Vernon K. Creeble Foundation.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Today we are talking about adoption. We have April Fallon in studio with us with Adoption Now. We had talked about different states here in America have different rules regarding adoption. And then we were talking about intercountry or international adoption. And I had mentioned that I've been on a board of a social services organization, and one of the things they did was adoption. And as I started to look at the numbers, I realized after the Hague, is it the Hague Convention? Is that what it is?
Hague Adoption Convention.
Okay.
Yep.
That actually the number of children adopted by American couples from other countries has gone down significantly. We were at a high of about 23,000 in 2004, down to 5,370 in 2016. And so during the break, I said, April Fallon, are you as concerned about these numbers declining as I am? And your response?
Absolutely. I mean, we have 151 million orphans that have either lost a parent or lost both of their parents. Globally, we have so many orphans that are in institutions and foster homes that aren't getting adopted. And we have to ask ourselves, what has changed so much? Is it really Hague? I mean, yes, there was trafficking going on. Yes, there were things that needed to be set in place. I mean, we can argue about that. Was the UN trying to keep the kids in their country and not let Americans have them? Were they really trying to protect the kids? I mean, that's a big
discussion. It's a big question,
yeah. But the problem is that these children are not getting homes. And what factors are playing into that? I really believe that in the last 10 years, not only with this Hague Convention going on, infertility is really high. When infertility is really high, we see parents that are saying, we want the adoption experience to be as close to a natural born child as possible. That means we're willing to pay no matter
much. Natural born child. What do you mean exactly?
So that means they want baby. They want the experience. They feel something's been taken from them. And I totally empathize with a lot of people in this boat.
Okay.
Not saying one way or another. I'm just kind of saying facts.
Okay.
And so they say, I want a baby. I want to be at the hospital. I won't even see the baby being born. I don't want to go overseas necessarily and get a 5-year-old.
I see. Okay.
I want to have that experience, and I'm willing to pay as much as it costs. Back 10 years ago, it was about $50,000, $40,000 to $50,000 to go overseas to adopt.
Wow.
Now we're seeing that domestic adoptions are almost as much. That
goodness.
Is a crazy amount of money that people are willing to pay to have an experience. And so with that going up, people are saying, I don't want to go overseas necessarily. I want a baby. And so they're going in this direction. So that's taking the numbers down quite a bit.
I see. Okay.
And also, you know, you talk a lot about the paperwork and bureaucracy and all these things that parents go through. If you're dealing with the UN, you're dealing with Hague, you're dealing with the country itself, thinking Americans are taking children for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you know, or trying to take them from their families, it can be very discouraging for a family to say, yes, I want to jump on board. Mm-hmm. I would like to do that in Ethiopia when we just found out Ethiopia in June closed. And there is nothing the American government can do about that. So I matched to a child. I've paid all this money, and now I can't go over and get him.
Wow.
I mean, what family wants to say, oh, that's the way I want to go? So whenever I talk to families, we sit down.
And just a point, then that means there's all these kids in Ethiopia.
Stranded.
They're stranded.
Yes.
They're maybe in foster care or orphanages. And over here, we have a family that wants them. I think that that is so tragic.
But it's their own government that's doing
exactly.
it. It's Ethiopia's government that's doing it.
Right. But I mean, I think that our government is also not stepping up to the plate and saying, okay, we need to get this in order so that we don't do this to our families and we don't do this to our children.
Agreed.
We want to bring them over. We want to be a support to you. Once you get them over here, then we want to support all the way through. I mean, like I said, I sit down with families all the time and they say, well, what's the easiest road? None are easy. None are easy. If you choose domestic infant adoption, not easy. Very expensive. If you go overseas, I mean, there's a lot you have to work through. I think educating people on that is really important, because if you're thinking it's easier to stay in this country.
Not so much. Huh.
And so if you're discouraged and you're in your heart, you're like, I really do want to go to India, or I want to go to Nepal, or I think you should pursue that. There are all these children that don't have any opportunity. They don't have any hope. I think that we need to really be encouraging families and educating families.
And how can people get more information about this, April Fallon? You seem to be a real, I mean, you know this. You've adopted 4 children and you just have a heart for this. And you started to do this show with all of these different stories. So how can people reach you? How can people get more information about all this?
Well, they can go to adoption-now.com. That's our website. And that's where we have all of our stories. And we kind of categorize all of them so that if you want to do international, you can hear stories about other people, the road that they went on. How did they connect with their agency? What kind of questions should you be asking your agency? That's very important. You have to educate yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. And if you're just trusting your agency, I wouldn't do that 100%. I think we have a lot of really great agencies, but I think that being very forthright as a parent is extremely important in this process. I also want to say that we are a huge promoter of adoption, whether it's international, whether it's in Colorado. I know I said a lot of things earlier. I just want families to be aware of what the law is. And so when they bring a child home, they know it's a 6-month run you're going to wait. If you're okay with that, awesome. So many people adopt from here. We did. And it worked out great for us. Now, on our other ones, we went to Florida, where it's 48 hours. I didn't want to wait 6 months to find out if the baby was going to be mine. 48 hours, paperwork was done, and I knew that that was going to be our forever child. There's so many different avenues, and I think that you really have to do some investigation.
Well, it sounds like you are a great resource to do that. Now, I know you've got a couple of stories we'd like to share. Molly, did you have any other questions on all this?
One question before we go to the stories, and I want to hear stories. But April Fallon, Adoption Now, you mentioned, obviously, Colorado's an agency state. You have to go through one, but they're not all. What are all the different options?
Oh, gosh. We don't have that much time. You can just get a lawyer in if you live in a different state. A lawyer can facilitate an entire adoption.
Okay, so adoption lawyer.
An adoption lawyer. Okay. You can, I mean, really, you have to do something legal, so you do need that piece or an agency. A lot of people try to avoid the cost by just having a lawyer. Sometimes it can end up being more expensive. Like I said, it's your journey. I wish I had a very easy path for every single person, and I could say, hey, do these things. But I do know the right questions to ask.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's different. You know, so you have to have the right questions, but you never know quite what the outcome's going to be because everybody's different.
But was there not, I thought you told me at one time there was something else too. Was there not like a mediator or something else? It's just an attorney or an agency, one or the other?
Really those two, because you have to do legal, you know, the documents, and there has to be someone there to take, you know, custody of the child. You can't have custody. You can take the child home as a foster parent, but in any hospital, in any state, you have to have someone there that says, yes, I can take custody. And so you have to have somebody legal, a social worker, but that's really your only option doing domestic.
Okay. Well, I'm ready for some cool stories.
Yeah. I think you've got a couple. Let's try to, we've got 3 minutes or so till break. So tell us your first one, if you can. And if we have to go over break, that's fine.
Tease a starter.
My first adoption?
No. I think
the first story.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about the upcoming stories on Adoption Now. I think we're going into a place that's really exciting and really finding out about mothers and fathers that are going beyond themselves. I think it's easy for all of us to say, I want a perfect baby that's delivered to my doorstep. Isn't it easy like that? I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. I am in need of a baby. There's a baby out there that's in need of a mom, and it should go together like a puzzle piece, and it doesn't. And so we're finding these stories of parents who go beyond themselves and say yes to children that no one else will.
Wow.
And so one of the stories that we're really excited about is Instagram Macy Makes My Day. If you look that up on Instagram, you will fall in love with these children. This mother said, we struggle with infertility. I want a perfect story. She ended up saying yes to Down syndrome baby. And what happened in her is amazing. I mean, really talking to her, you will feel inspired. Like, this is a gift to her. I mean, we think, oh, adoptive parents, you're doing something amazing for somebody else. Yes, but what happens inside of us is really the true gift. And she's just changed. She said yes to another Down syndrome baby and then African-American child. And she just puts them together and lives life. And it's not easy. And she talks openly about it. Super excited about that story. Another story that we have is the first blind man to walk up Mount Everest, climb Mount Everest.
I can't not even imagine it.
I mean, he's just so amazing and inspiring as well. But he decided to adopt from Nepal, he and his wife. And he talks about how he summited all these mountains. And he kayaked 277 miles Grand Canyon. All these amazing things. Yeah. And he said the most difficult thing was adoption.
And because why?
Because you have no control.
Oh, I bet that's okay.
I can't imagine thinking I have control of a kayak when I'm blind.
And he talked about that as well. He talked about how there are times and moments where, yes, you feel like you don't have control. But with adoption, I mean, complete loss of control.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, let's go to break. Do you have some other stories you can share with us, April Fallon?
I sure do.
Okay. We have April Fallon in studio with Adoption Now. It's the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. And we are going to go to break. We'll be right back.
If you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, it is fall, baby, whether you want to believe it or not. And so it's time for the scary movies to pop out. Now, the Historic 88 Drive-In is one of our favorite sponsors. Susan Koshevar owns that. And they've got a new schedule starting Friday, September 29th. This goes to October 5th. So their movies are the Lego Ninjago movie at 7 p.m., that's PG. Hopefully after that, the kids fall asleep, because then it's The Hitman's Bodyguard, rated R, 8:50 p.m., and then It, which is rated R at 10:50 p.m. And because
when you scream, the kids are going to wake up.
Well, some. It's getting cooler. They're adding another drink to the menu, cider, and they've got all kinds of funnel cake toppings, I think up to 5 now. So go check out the 88 Drive-In.
And I have a sad face right now because my computer, I'm not able to connect right now. And you guys are connecting. You're getting all kinds of information. I'm not. I've tried. But October 1st, all will be well, because Evan, your IT guy, will be live by then. And Evan, your IT guy, they're a great new Growing Our Brand partner with the AmeriChicks. And they're a network of IT professionals. And what they do is they provide on-demand help with all of our computer needs. And so go to evanyouritguy.com. And right now, with all this cyber stuff, Molly, it's good to get these free little webcam covers for your computer. And so if you go to Discover on their website, scroll down to the bottom, put in your contact information, your mailing address, they'll send you one of these. And again, they're going to be going live. That will be next week. And the other thing that's great is they're wonderful for small businesses. You know, small businesses, there's all kinds of costs, licenses, fees, all those things we talk about all the time. And so typically you don't have a person that's on staff for all your IT needs. And so what you can do with Evan, your IT guy, is you only pay them for what you need, and they're motivated to get your problem taken care of as soon as possible.
Yeah, who said there are no free lunch? It's a lot cheaper to call Evan, your IT guy, than to hire your own in-company IT staff.
You got it.
So check it.
Okay, so we have April Fallon in studio with us, and it always goes way too fast, April. And you have Adoption Now, and we were sharing some amazing stories. The story about the gentleman who was blind and climbed Mount Everest, right? And they just adopted a Nepalese child. And so tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, this was several years ago.
Okay.
Couldn't get that word out. Several years ago. Just like he kayaked 277,000.
It was like 277 miles, right?
Yes. He's amazing. I mean, his story is amazing. And we say in Adoption Now all the time, you have to be in it to win it. How can we promote adoption and also really promote warriors, people who are saying, I'm willing to go into the trenches and I'm willing to fight for a child? Because no matter what you do, it is heart-wrenching and the journey is breaking at times, and there's great joy. And Eric, he's amazing, and he wrote a book called No Barrier. Eric Weinmayer, he talks about going over to Nepal as a blind man and adopting this child, and what it was like to bring home a boy who had never had any parents, and he was 5 years old. He did not know how to sit at a table. He did not know how to stop eating. He ate and ate and ate. He did not know how to function with other people around him loving him. He came to their home with lice. He just had so many things that they had to overcome. And he talks about his wife and what she did to connect with him and just how they kept going. And in the midst of Nepal, in a time that there was war going on and there was, I mean, warnings from the U.S. government to say, get out. They stayed in the country to fight for this child. And every time we finish a story on Adoption Now, I say to the parents, that is amazing that you just kept in it. You kept in it until the very end. And then you bring the child home and the journey really begins.
Right.
You know, I mean, the work really begins. The heart work begins. And so supporting other families during the time that they are fighting for the child and bringing the child home is really our message. And really supporting the community and saying, we're here for you. We get it. We went through, my husband and I, we have four children. And people on the outside were saying to us, why don't you just give up on some of these adoptions? I mean, it's clear as day. You're not going to get this child, or this person is taking advantage of you, whether it be a lawyer, agency. I mean, we've just gone through so much. And yet we couldn't say no. We just felt compelled to hang on. We love the child enough to say yes. And we were in it so deep, we just didn't want to say no, you know? And that's the kind of place that you're in as an adoptive parent, is this gray area of really love, and you can't explain it to anyone else. You can't say, this is why I'm doing it. You just, your heart tells you to continue to do it. And so in that place, it can be very lonely. And so we're just here as a community to say, you're not alone. And so hearing Eric's story on how his wife did that and how they came together and how they overcame, and he was blind. I mean, anyone should go and adopt after you hear his story, because he's like, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Yeah. And the little guys in... And another thing that's kind of sad with adoption is kids get to an age where they don't get adopted that much. And so, you know, many people sometimes would prefer to try to adopt a baby. And it's really sad because there's older kids that would love to have a home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that there's work to be done there as well, going into it and thinking, we talked a little bit about this on the show, and this podcast is going to be released in a couple of weeks. But Eric talked about how the child doesn't come to you and say, hi, mom. Where have you been? Yeah. It's work. You have to win that child over. You have to prove you're going to be there. You have to show love day in and day out. They've never had anyone be there for them. And you could be that person. You could be that person that changes their life. You could be that person to inspire them to greatness. And the relationship may not look like you think it's going to look. It might not be perfect mom, son, mom, daughter, but you know what? You are somebody there that said, I fought for you no matter what. And he, Eric, says in this podcast, I said to my son, I know it's hard for you to believe that I love you because I wasn't there since the very beginning, but if a bus came, I'd step in front of it for your life. Mm-hmm. And he said that that changed him, because that child realized, he loves me. Mm-hmm. And that love can change a lot of things. Not everything. And we talk about that on the show. There's lots of different things that you need. But I really believe that if you are called to an older child, that God is going to open up that door for you to get them and bring them home.
Well,
I think it's so amazing, too, that when you adopt a child, it's basically like you're telling them how special they are because they were chosen. Mm-hmm. And so, it, you know, it's proving that they're wanted, that they're loved, that they're cherished because they were chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message. And that's what's so neat about families that are willing to go out there and adopt somebody else's kid because they want to take care of somebody and help, you know, take care of this next generation.
Yeah, I think working on attachment is very challenging. I think to be really honest and open, I mean, there are steps that we can't understand. If we've been left on the side of the road, something happens in your mind. And so if you come to me and say, "Hi, I'm your mom, come on, trust me." Oh, we're going to have to work
on
this.
You got to earn it. It really
and
does.
And so it takes warriors. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I want to be that warrior, contact us. We will help you. We will find that path for you. We'll sit down with you and say, okay, what are you looking for? What's in your heart? And we will find that child with you and support you.
Well, and being a parent, whether or not you adopt the child or have the child biologically, I think in both instances, once a child realizes that you would walk through fire for them, you know, when you have that kind of love for a child, it really goes across many of the bumps in the road. But there are always bumps in the road, that's for sure. So I did want to mention Karen Levine. We were going to have her call in and she was going to try to make that work for her schedule. But Molly, she has been a Growing Our Brand partner, for several years. And we really appreciate her. She is an award-winning RE/MAX Alliance agent up in Arvada. She's been in the business for, 20 plus years. And she can help you with either buying or selling your home. And she really has your best interests in mind. And we've been friends for probably almost 25 years and can certainly highly recommend working with her. Her phone number is 303-877-7516. And I was talking to her about the market here in Colorado, and it is still very tight. It is still very challenging for first-time buyers or people on the lower, looking for the more affordable houses out in the market. And that is why you really need a professional like Karen Levine to help you through that. So again, it's Karen Levine. Her phone number is 303-877-7516. And give her a call. Tell her that you know the AmeriChicks as well. I know that she would greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, well, we certainly appreciate all of our partners, and yeah, with this housing market, I have friends that have told me, they're going in, they're bidding on a house, but there's like 25 people bidding on the same house at the same time, and it's like if you don't have a realtor that knows what they're doing, you're out of it, man. Don't even try.
Yeah, no, starting with a professional.
Get somebody that's been in the experience, someone that's been in the business
up and down, up and down.
Yeah,
I think that's a good deal. So. Thank you. And April Fallon, it is just really a treat to have you here. It's the emotion, the care that you have for your children, as well as helping other families to learn these stories and navigate through this, is just really, it really does my heart good.
Thank you so much for having us on. I have to share one little story of my daughter. We were talking about the future of adoption now, and we redid our website and all these different things. And she said, "Mommy, you're not going to stop." She's four. "Mommy, you're not going to stop adoption now, are you?" And I said, "Well, we're just making changes." And she said, "Good, because there's a lot of kids and puppies that need homes." And the greatest thing about adoption is that if you're open and honest with your children, they will catch the vision.
They will.
They will.
They're smart.
Become a part of the adoption world, and they will promote adoption. She'll ask strangers, "Do you know my mom? Do you have an adoption story?" Like, everyone should be adopting.
That is
now, you
truly...
have adopted four kids. How many puppies do you have?
I don't know where she got that, because we haven't adopted a puppy.
Not yet.
Not yet. But yeah, my son is 7 and my daughter is 4, and I have another daughter that's 2. And then we got a surprise baby, 6 months, a biological sibling to the 2-year-old.
And that wasn't that a short time frame on that? Or how long did you know before you got that child?
I mean, we didn't know. We had to do a home study that was super fast, and everything was expedited, and it was just crazy. And then at the last minute, we didn't think we were going to get her. So we drove out to Florida as a family, and it didn't look like we were getting her. So we all drove back home crying the whole time. And surprise, a phone call came, and they said, "Come get the baby. She's yours."
Oh, my gosh. Well, I got to give this quote quickly. This is unknown. "It's not flesh of my flesh, not bone of my bone, but still miraculously my own. And never forget for a minute, you were not born under my heart. You were born in my heart." April Fallon, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
This is the AmeriChicks signing off. Y'all have a good night.